Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This. They scored 2 points in the fourth quarter, and they still got it into overtime. Wow. Then they lost in overtime. But that was, yeah. That was
choke the, artist.
Yeah, that team wasn't
told
good
me to stay off the internet.
Yeah, I don't think he understands your
Yeah,
you know, your addiction to it, to tell you the truth.
Oh, I ain't addicted. It's all our friend. I just admit it.
No, you're trying Scotty, to make do it you remember who made the only basket in that fourth quarter for your 2004 Golden State Warriors?
Can I assume you actually know and are looking right now?
I just Googled it because as Trent Baalke always, always tells us.
You got to Google it.
I guess Donyell Marshall.
That is incorrect. Donyell Marshall. That's a good guess.
Eric Dampier.
You got it. Five-footer. They were
one God, of 13 they should have just fed him that game.
From the floor. Toronto wins it 84-81 in overtime. The Raptors outscore the Warriors 18-2 in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
Say that to get 84-81 in overtime.
We went to OT at 75 apiece in a gritty defensive affair. 2004, Jason Richardson led the way with 22. Brian Cardinal, the janitor, with 14. Cliff Dog Robinson, rest in peace, with 10. Speedy Claxton with a dozen. Mm-hmm. And the aforementioned Eric Dampier with 6. The Raptors led by Vince Carter with 22. Donyell Martian with a dozen.
Dunleavy?
Jalen Rose with 19 for Toronto. Okay. You forgot about Jalen.
That's a great timeout. That's that era.
Yeah. Dunleavy, Van Exel, and Popeye Jones, DNPs.
Gotcha.
Wow.
Nick and Knight.
Just a little memory lane there for you, Steiny. 2004.
I remember once Eric Dampier. I said, hey, you know, coach was – I went up to him one day. I was like, coach said, you know, he likes to get you going a little early, get you post up. He says he gets you more engaged defensively. And Dampier was like, okay, whatever. And I said, what? That's what Musselman said. And he goes, Musselhead. I'm like, no, Musselman. He goes, what Musselhead say? That got in the Contra Costa Times. Dampier called him Musclehead, and he didn't say, don't write it.
At the time, you wouldn't have thought that Musselman would end up having a better career than Dampier.
Man.
But here we are, and E-Mus is doing great. He's doing big things. And, you know, only lasted a couple more seasons in our league.
Can you do big things in Arkansas? Yeah, I mean. I mean, you're in Arkansas, so how big can
Mr. Richardson did, Stoney?
Yeah, that was 42 years ago.
Yeah, but it was done with some help from Emeryville. Don't sleep on the pride.
Look at you, Guru.
Darnell Robinson.
You know I've got. Yes, Stoney. Wow. Guru, you know me. Yeah. Guru,
he didn't
you know
pan
me.
Out, though. Yeah.
Why? Nice little mini run there. Never nervous, Corliss.
That was a Scotty Thurman team, too. Corliss Williamson.
Yeah.
Darnell
40
Robinson.
Minutes of hell, Steiny.
Yeah. By the way, I saw this. Do you ever see that clip of Nolan Richardson at the Hall of Fame talking about Larry Bird?
It's the greatest thing I've ever seen, Stoney.
It's
we
pretty funny.
We should play it, man. I heard that just the other day. I was like, that's good stuff right there.
Yeah, see if you can find that. Yeah, Nolan Richardson at the Hall of Fame induction, he's talking about Larry Bird, listening to him on the radio, an Indiana State game. Fitz talked about Jordan Poole and Nico Mannion, but it seemed like they're more for the second half, you know, rather than tomorrow and the next day. Boy, Steve Kerr seems to like Wanamaker. Really does.
For now, I think Wanamaker is a placeholder, to borrow your Giants terminology when you were talking about placeholder and gap year. That's what Wanamaker is. You can't imagine him being on this team next year on the opening day roster. I mean, Jacob Evans, Jordan Poole, Nico Mannion, you'd figure they'd be given every chance to fail as opposed to bringing back Wanamaker. And I wonder if any of this has to do with the Juan Toscano-Anderson clock, you know, the amount of days he's allowed to be there. Maybe they need bodies too, you know?
You know what? It's interesting you brought that up, Dibs, because I just saw Sham Charania of the Athletic.
It's good news.
The Athletic.
Yeah.
He tweeted out sources, the NBA and the NBA Players Association are planning to eliminate the 50-game limit for two-way contract players this season and to allow two-way players to be eligible for the playoffs pending board approval. So this may solve the Juan Toscano-Anderson problem, guys,
awesome.
Because they've had to be delicate about when to use him, which games to use him for, and that would be nice if Steve Kerr wouldn't have to worry about that anymore with Toscano-Anderson. So go ahead,
Steve Kerr. Yeah, Steve Kerr is no dummy, Dibs, and I just want to take a crack at defending Wanamaker. You didn't bring him in for scoring. You brought him in to run the second team and get the guys the ball. But what's happening now is the other guys aren't making it. And I just feel like the fans have just did a mutiny on Wanamaker. And where I'm going is the last 2 years, the Boston Celtics have played high-level basketball, and I've seen Brad Wanamaker run the team and be competent coming off the bench. He hasn't done it in a Warrior uniform, but I don't know why I feel like he's getting a raw deal, Dibs. Like, you know, somebody take the knife out of his back. He ain't Curry. You know what I mean? It's just like other guys aren't scoring in that unit, and I think the fans are just focused on him like he's missing all the shots.
It's a scapegoat situation because we all see it. The second unit comes in, and Bobby Fitz mentioned it, Bob Fitzgerald, when he joined us, that they struggle offensively, and Wanamaker is the guy who's the point guard of a unit who's struggling, and it's not his fault. It's like the band director at a high school where nobody can play an instrument. You know, you got a bunch of beginners. You know, you lost your lead chair in the saxophone to graduation. The band's not going to sound as good. So in part, you're blaming Wanamaker for things that aren't his fault, but then you see him out there making mistakes and not able to, quote, get his own. I think it's low-hanging fruit for Warrior fans, but to your point, Steiny, he's not the problem, but he's also not the solution.
Right, and you're right, Dibs. I mean, nobody's blaming Wanamaker for losses, but the numbers are pretty stark. He's shooting 35% from the field and 22% from three-point range. And the Warriors, look, he shot 41% 2 years ago and 36% last year, so he's having a terrible shooting year. The Warriors thought he would be more of a solid shooter, but I'm kind of with you, Dibs. He's the backup point guard. He doesn't play a ton of minutes, and he'd ideally be served better, obviously, by playing with some better players. But that second unit, they gotta figure something out there, because that's going to be a factor the second half of the season, Dibs.
But we liked him early on, though, Steiny.
No,
remember, we were coming up with nicknames.
No, you were.
The Swag Brothers and Mulder
the Swag
and Lee.
Brothers, the Swag Brothers, you wanted that to
Pascal?
Be Wiggins and Oubre.
Swagalicious.
No, the Swag Brothers were the guys coming off the bench, the second team. Remember, I had Pascal, I had Wanamaker,
oh,
I threw him in there. and it's kind of.
I remember running from that as fast as I could. I think I pulled a hamstring.
Monte used it on the post game one day.
Okay.
Don't do that.
There we see it. There we see it.
Yeah, that second
they've been better.
Ugh, yuck! Right now, it's yuck.
Yeah, not a lot of swag there.
Nah, and I think if you're having a year that is fraught with accuracy issues, you don't want to have the last name of Wanamaker. It feels almost like you're begging every time you shoot it. Wanamaker!
Oh. It's been Wanamisser. Yeah.
How about how about Bobby Fitz just hitting LaMelo Ball with a lead pipe? Oh, my.
Yeah.
Be better at
right
your
after
job.
Right after he praised you, and I think we can put to bed the debate of who does Bob like the most, because you know, I'm referred to as Dan very, very harshly, and you got a Maddie, and oh, what a player, Maddie. And of course, he loves Guru for the chili take, so I'm clear of the bronze medalist right now on the Bobby Fitz loveometer. It hurts a little bit.
Okay,
you know what, though?
But it sounds like you're golfing.
Yeah. That bronze medal will still get you into a foursome.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go, Snotty. That's
what do you got, Bob? What do you got?
Free have you ever played with Fitz?
No, I haven't. Although one day, you and I were playing at the Cal Club with our good buddy Kaylee.
That's right.
And I believe Bob was there with his brother Paul many, many years ago. That's back when we were hobnobbing, Goo. Back when Steiny and I were a factor.
Remember who else we bumped into that day? At the Cal Club?
Was Sean Estes?
Dave Feldman.
Oh, that's right.
Remember?
not that Dave Feldman.
Statistician.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
The Dave Feldman who used to do the 49ers pre and post game.
Yeah. I don't want to portray him as good Feldy, bad Feldy, but this is the second best. My second favorite of the various Dave Feldman. Well, I worked with Dave Feldman. I won an Emmy with the other Dave Feldman.
Oh, okay.
He was the producer. He was the producer of the broadcast. When the Quakes
two
game.
Dave.
Yeah.
Two Dave Feldmans, one's a producer. I worked with him one time, believe it or not. I did sidelines for a college game. It was, who the heck was it? It was UC Davis was playing, oh gosh, somebody. Me, Bowamini, and.
That was a rough run.
Was it
Barry Tompkins?
Yes. No. Wait. Maybe.
That sounds like a Davis UOP crew to me.
Wow. Yeah.
Could it have been UC Santa Barbara?
Could have been.
It might have been. I'll go check the log. It was during the NBA lockout year. All right.
That's one of my new favorites, by the way.
Yeah,
Steinmetz, you're doing a great job. I don't know who it is, but.
Renegade.
Okay.
We got Guru's Gripes on the other side. Look at that. Out of nowhere. And also,
get it off my chest.
I'm looking forward to it. We'll also continue with our Dubs conversation right on the other side on 95.7 The Game.
Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Sounds familiar. Electric Slide? That's the name of this song. What's the name of the song? Stop laughing.
I don't know.
Give
like
me the name.
Electric Feel by MGMT.
Come on. I almost had it. Go back to the 1990s with the Electric Slide. Remember that dance, Tim? Dibs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't a good dancer.
Many a wedding.
I couldn't do it either, Stoney, and I'm black.
I'm a wallflower. I was a wallflower at the dance.
Do the
I sat in the bleachers with a couple guys looking at everybody dancing, saying, I can't do that.
That was incredible confession there from Guru. That was a deep share. I appreciate that.
Eighth grade dance. Real quick, eighth grade dance, Dibs. I had to go to my guy, Reggie Basie, for the eighth grade dance. There was a dance out called the Smurf. So I had to went to his house Tuesday and Thursday of that week so I could get ready for the dance that Saturday. Your boy was getting it in, but I had two left feet.
Yeah, that was right about the time of the Running Man and the Cabbage Patch. The Smurf was right in there, too. You didn't have TikTok. Yeah, pay attention, kids, behind the glass.
You had to actually go
to your friend's house and practice these dances.
Have my parachute.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
Guru on the other side. Now we're on this side. Let's just cut to the chase. I guess we got Guru's Gripes. Let's do
it. It's time for Guru's Gripes. Fire away, Guru.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You're starting to piss me off.
It makes me so mad.
Oh, please don't make me angry, pal. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
King Kong ain't got on me.
It's time for Guru's Gripes.
Mother sucker.
Okay, fellas, I own this because it's part of who I am. I love, and you guys know I love uniforms. I love the schemes, and I'm on record multiple times saying I don't like these City Edition jerseys where the home team guys is in dark colors and the traditional white has just gone out the window. But something happened Friday in the NBA. This steal has me ticked off, and I have it recorded. The Thunder are hosting the Atlanta Hawks. And both teams come out in dark colors, red and orange. It was so bad, the Thunder had to change uniforms at halftime of an NBA game. $1 billion business. And you're telling me, you guys, somebody couldn't recognize it tip or before tip? Hey, you know what? We got two color jerseys on. It's going to be an eyesore. We won't know who is who. Let's change it now. They played the half of basketball. The Hawks blame the Thunder. The Thunder blame the Hawks. The Hawks only had red uniforms on the trip, so they couldn't change. The Thunder went to the whites. And I said to myself, I don't want to use the word ghetto. I don't want to use the word low budget. But this is incredible. You're the NBA. How could this happen, Dibs? How could you tip the ball knowing that there's a uniform infraction with two solid colors? I recorded it when I saw it on Twitter, Fitz. I went to the league pass, and I'm watching it now, and it just doesn't sit well with me. And my whole point in this all is it's out of control, and let's get back to what we used to do. White at home, dark on the road.
I love it, Goo. I love it. I couldn't agree with you more, but unfortunately, it comes down to M-O-N-E-Y and all these alternates and these faux alternates and these semi-alternates. I'm watching English Premier League as we speak, and Man City in their traditional light blue, but the Wolves are wearing some sort of burgundy maroon. You're yellow and black, yet you come out with burgundy. So that horse has left the barn, Goo. The idea of white at home, dark on the road. I love that purity, Steiny, of the old days. I remember watching my brother in high school, same age as you, Drake High School. Now it's named a number. But their whites at home were so clean. Then they go to those greens on the road. There's a purity in the simplicity.
And I take it the away jerseys, you had the odd numbers, and the home jersey, you had the even numbers. Or no, that's the way we did in Pennsylvania.
The uniform
what
number?
What do you mean?
Yeah. The way, when I was in high school, cue up the ding young people.
I'm listening to this.
No, one try.
We got two uniforms. One was a home uniform. One was an away uniform. So if you wore 10 at home when you played on the road, your uniform would be 11. So you had 10 and 11, 12 and 13, 14 and 15.
That's crazy.
I've never heard that.
Me either. So, yeah.
Honest
I'm
to God,
34 so, at home and away. It travels.
So it was also a way of keeping nobody on the court had the same number. You know, you couldn't have a guy in a home uniform with 44 and a road uniform 44 right. to be 44, 43.
You know this, Matt, because you're a good guard and you're a high-level player.
That's going to be one for the personal
good.
Files.
Stop it. Yeah. Come on, Steiny. Go ahead. Both teams wearing solid colors, and you got to change it. This is the NBA. Why did they tip off? That's what bothers me. Then look around.
Thunder.
Oh, we got a problem. Let's delay the start of the game.
Guru, you know what it was? It was a mix-up. That's all. Just a mix-up. There's no need to be incensed.
Fix it before you start is what I'm saying.
Goo, it was a mix-up. That's all. They thought they could do it in the first half.
Spider-Man picture.
They thought they could play it, and then at halftime they're like, you know what, this isn't right. Let's get one team. I have no problem with
it. This is the NBA. That's
you know what?
Wild,
we all grew up playing shirts and skins.
I find that offensive.
Yeah. All right, so any uniform is a good uniform as far as – you find it offensive.
Yeah,
there was a mix-up, and you find a mix-up offensive.
Why Somebody did the mix-up not get corrected or rectified until after half? Here comes a team that started the game in a certain jersey, and they come out in white at half, Dibs. That's when you, what did you say? The horse is out of the barn. He's
it
gone.
Is.
Yeah.
Well, it's because they want to sell all these various alternates and, you know, the Oakland jersey and the city jersey and all the other, okay. You know, all the other versions. And I like it and I get it. But you're right. If you're on the road, you should be wearing a darker color than the team that's it at home.
The other thing is I think there's a chance they started that game and the refs didn't realize that it couldn't work because that's what are they? Oklahoma City's in their alternates and the Hawks are in their away. I mean, no, they don't know that.
It was red and orange. You think that don't even happen online when you're playing Madden. They got a glitch where both teams, they just stop the game immediately. But for them to go through a whole two quarters and then fix it, that's amazing to me.
Yeah, that kind of went over my radar, and I didn't really.
That's never happened in NBA history. How about that?
Well,
just to put it in perspective.
How do you know?
I read the story.
I don't believe the story.
I'm not here. It's never happened.
No.
Internet crap.
No. I'm not taking an issue with you. I don't believe for 1 minute. It's never happened before in 79 years. You telling me when the Syracuse Nationals were playing the Fort Wayne Bruisers, at one point the equipment manager for Fort Wayne, I packed the wrong unis. It happened.
Yeah, it happened.
Anyway.
It bothered me. I feel better.
By the way, the Hawks fired Lloyd Pierce. He's the first coach to get fired this year. Atlanta Hawks.
Him and Trae Young weren't getting along. Yeah. They didn't have a pretty good relationship.
Give me that fits again. Say it again. Say apparently Trae Young and Lloyd Pierce. Go ahead.
Fake internet crap.
Right. That's what it is, Goo.
Hey, Goo,
how much would we need to pay you for you to stay off the internet and not do any of that crap?
See, what bothers me with that statement is you are insinuating I'm on it more than you guys. We're all on it together.
Get off of Twitter.
I put it down, guys. I ain't on it 24/7, but we all got some Duran in us. You just try to see what your friends are doing. What are they talking about, Dibs? You look and you put it down. I ain't on it all day.
I didn't say you were. I'm just saying.
I would guess as far as TPD goes, tweets per day, you would lead the show. I would put you at about – now, this is just straight tweets. If you retweet over the top of somebody, that counts. Your own material counts
Kyle's
as well.
Kyle's leading me in with tweets. I'm behind Kyle.
You're probably right. I put you second. Yeah. And hopefully Spadoni doesn't have an account because I for sure don't follow him. So,
no, Spadoni's got an account.
Oh, boy.
Let me give it to you, Dibs. Hold on.
Great job, Spadone.
It better be
great job, Spadone, as his handle. If not, he's doing it wrong. And then, do I have a responsibility? Do we have a responsibility to follow our coworkers? Because there's a coworker of ours who I adore. Great, talented, young, behind-the-scenes worker. And he keeps popping up in my, hey, you should think about following. You know, you get those three accounts that pop up.
Right.
And it's, I just don't want to follow this coworker of ours. Am I beholden to follow everybody behind the scenes and in front of the scenes?
First, you don't want to golf against Shasky because you say those guys aren't worthy and I let you get away with it. And then you don't hit the follow button. Just as easy as just tapping it, Stoney, to do something for the greater good of your team and your job. You are a prima donna.
Dibs, I think you followed me like right when this new show started. So you might have muted me at some point.
Yeah, it feels like a classic follow mute. It's a classic follow mute. And There's a troika of young stars behind the scenes, not quite in the same tier as a Spadoni and a Kyle, but I think about the troika of Lucas, Nash, and Mouser. Nash, and Lucas. All bright, young, talented sports guys. Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. I'll mull it over, guys. I'm puzzled by this, Steiny. It's a puzzlement.
'Tis a puzzlement, as Yul Brynner said, the King and I. All right, let's welcome in Al Guido. He's the 49ers president. I'll try to segue as much as we can, although we had fun with Al last time, so I don't think he takes himself too seriously or what's going on. But I do want to ask Al, first of all, thank you for coming on, and what's the plan with trying to get fans back in Levi Stadium by next season? Where are you guys at? I hear there's a little bit of optimism there.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me on, and I appreciate it. And we are optimistic. I would say it started in, it's like two phases where we're in the second phase now. The first phase was opening up the mass vaccination center, which is awesome. We've done over 20,000 vaccinations to date. We started doing around 5,000 a day this week, and so that's going really, really well here with the help of obviously all of our partners. And then the second part was today we announced a medical advisory committee, which is frankly really led by not just Bay Area, but world-renowned infectious disease experts to get us to a point. And I know you have a lot of the faithful on and listening, and I mean, we got to get fans back in the stands, right? We got to get back on the field. We got to do all those things, but we got to do it safely. And I'm confident that with the leadership group that we're announcing today, that we'll put the right measures in place to make sure that we can have fans when we kick back off in August and September. So I'm feeling really good about it.
We're all getting excited, Al, because we're thinking about baseball and basketball, and you have the luxury of having 5 or 6 months still to go. But with so much unknown, how many different contingency plans are you guys rolling out as far as, 20% capacity, maybe 50? How much is that a challenge to even think about what could be?
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge, but I would say for us, like, you're right, we do have the benefit of time, as they say. And for me, like, I'm not putting a number out there today, because like the reality is, and I was talking to Dr. Monica Gandhi, who's as part of our advisory team. It's hard when you're in it. It feels like the days are long, the weeks are long, the months are long. But the reality is we've only been in this for a year. And it's amazing how far we've come in just a year, right? We played 256 regular season NFL games. We played a Super Bowl. We got them all off. There's other sports going on right now. I'm confident that there'll be fans in the stands at those sports here in the Bay Area. We still have 5-6 months to go before we have to put, obviously our product back on the field. And for me, I don't want to limit ourselves. I'm confident, call me a vaccine optimist. Like, I am confident that with the right supply, that operationally, we can pull this off and vaccinate a large percentage of not just obviously Bay Area residents, but season ticket holders the like. And so, for me, yes, of course, there's always contingency planning, but the reality is, the more vaccines we can get in arms, and the faster we can do so, the likelihood or more likelihood that we would have fans in, gets me more and more optimistic every single day. So I'm not going to put a percentage out there. And the good news is that no matter what the goal remains the same. And so for it, while we might be dictated to in the percentage of fans we can have, we can only control what we can control. And that's what I try to focus my time on, which is how do we make sure our measures are safe and effective? How do we support the community and the public health officials to operationalize their vaccine distribution? And right now I feel really good about the job we're doing.
Great stuff. So much of this offseason has been about quarterback movement, possible quarterback movement, Al. And I'm just curious, a lot of times fans think these athletes are machines and they don't have feelings. And I'm wondering, when you have a starter in place and the rumor mill is, out there with possible names, do you owe it to the starter, Al? What do you come out on telling the starter, hey, we have you, you're our starter for now? Do you touch on it at all, or you kind of just let the chips fall where they may?
Well, I appreciate you asking. I leave that, getting back to like control what you control. I leave that to John and Kyle. I have great partners, obviously on the football side. My job is on the business side to get us up and running, but I'm confident that they're having, all the conversations they need to have with our guys. And the reality is, look, focusing on the now, it's good to have these guys in, have our coaches back, have our scouts back to get ready for free agency and obviously the upcoming draft. But then even more importantly, we had a lot of guys, as you know, and well-documented, covered, that were injured this year. So even seeing Nick both in our building and walking around and going through his medical treatments, it feels good to be kind of in the 21 planning campaign. But I'm sure to specifically answer your question, I'm sure John and Kyle are having all those conversations, not just, at that level, but frankly with our entire group of guys and our broader team as we prepare to put the best field on play in 20, to put the best team on the field in 21.
Al Guido, 49er president, joining us on 95.7 The Game. Al, as a president of the business side of it, you look at what's going on with the teams in your division. Obviously, Arizona signs Watt, and the Rams get Stafford, and even the news from Seattle about Wilson and what's going on up there. Is there a downside from a business perspective of your team being relatively quiet compared to kind of the news brewing around other teams in the NFC West?
Not at all. No downside at all. I was having this joke with my pops last night in the car. It's like, there's a lot of noise, but that's good. It's okay. I feel really good about our team. I mean, last year was a tough year, as we all know, but we're a year removed from playing in the Super Bowl, and I know we fell short, but we got a really good squad. And look, our division is tough. That is certain, but I think that only makes you better. Our guys worked their tails off on and off the field. I know our front office because I see them every single day. I've watched them in their free agency prep and even in their draft prep this week, really dig in to improve our roster. And so, listen, the entire NFL is we're all chasing the Super Bowl, right? If you didn't win it, you're chasing it. And so for us, we're chasing it. And I'm sure the guys are going to be prepared to do whatever they think is necessary to make sure that we have our best shot at getting back to the promised land. But, look, I feel really good about our roster. And the reality is, on the business side, when we get fans back in these stands, we want to beat these teams, our rivals in our division. And I know our fan base wants to beat them badly. And all it does is add fodder to it. So my hope is, when 70,000 people are roaring, we're making life really difficult for Russell if he's there. And obviously, on the offensive side, we're doing whatever we need to do to attack the defense as we go up against. So I don't spend a lot of time on it, guys. And I actually think it's always good for the NFL and all sports. All this rumor mill and fodder is good, to be frank.
It wasn't a winning year on the field, but great news for Robert Saleh getting the promotion and the head coaching gig, and for John Lynch making it into the Hall of Fame. How proud are you of the organization to be associated with two such quality individuals getting up?
Yeah, well, starting with Coach Saleh, he's an amazing person. I'm glad to have gotten to know him during his time here. I texted him the other day. I'm so pumped for him and Coach LaFleur and frankly all those guys. And then on John's side, we all joke at Captain America. He is, first and foremost, he's a first class human being, and I'm so happy for him and his family to be able to be down in San Diego when David Baker was there to tell him that he made it in. I was telling, again, my family, it's hard to imagine John spent 7 nights in a hotel room waiting for the knock on that door to not get it, and no person or player deserved it. There's a lot of tremendous players, as you all know, that could be in, but John's both a tremendous former player and a tremendous person, and so I can't, going to Canton and celebrating with him in August is something I'm really looking forward to, and I know he played for the Bucks and the Broncos and everything, but I'm hoping that the faithful contingent will work their way out to Canton, Ohio, and support him as well.
Hey Al, if you don't mind, I want to run something by you. We were talking about the Warriors a little earlier in the show and kind of what their goals should be for the season, and we've all come to the conclusion that if they got the 6th seed, that would be great. And so Dibley came up with a slogan, Warriors Quest for 6. What do you think about that as a Warriors slogan?
Well, I don't know what Bob and Rick and the, and Steve would say about that, but I like our slogan on our side and what it means because it's the grand prize. So right. I guess if you're them, you know, as a fan, I'm a Hoops head. So as a fan, I was telling Rick the other day, I miss Clay because it's my daughter's favorite player, but I'm just glad to see those guys out and Steph balling a little bit and having them back on the court. Not to get too sentimental or emotional with you guys, but honestly, like, so much has been taken away from all of us this past year. And so to have sports, to be able to turn it on the television or listen in, for me, like, I'm super thrilled that we all get to do that. And you know, now that there's light at the end of this dark tunnel, to be able to get us back into these buildings, man, I can't wait to take my family or my girls to a game. I promise you, I said this to Raj the other day as part of the Bashoff Hall of Fame thing, which is I'll never take it for granted again. And for any fan or for any employee or any player that did, man, knowing how close, you know, how much it was stripped away from us, to be able to walk back in these buildings and cheer on our favorite players and high five a complete stranger, I can't wait till we can do that safely. And I just know that when we can, man, like, all of the teams in the Bay Area, like, the fan bases are just going to come back roaring if we do the right thing. And I get like goosebumps just thinking about walking back out to Levi's, and I'm happy it's a vaccination center today. And, you know, tomorrow, the proverbial tomorrow, I can't wait till it's an actual football environment with fans cheering.
We're right with you, Alan. Just put this date in the back of your mind. I know you can't do predictions. I can. I get paid to be a wiseacre. But May 8th, Al, Giants at home, Warriors at home. I'll see you there. We'll meet up for a socially distant diet soda at a spot to be named later.
I like it. I might trade out the diet soda for something else, but I would love to have that happen.
Nice.
My man. Quest for six. Drinks.
Al, thank you so much. Really appreciate it, and look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, guys. Really appreciate the time. Hope everybody's doing well. Stay safe.
Yes, sir. Al Guido, president of the San Francisco 49ers, and I was doing a little research on him. Nobody will care out here, but he went to the College of New Jersey, formerly Trenton State.
What?
Yeah, Trenton State. And you guys, obviously, before we go to break, you're familiar with the world-famous bridge in Trenton, New Jersey, and what it says, right?
I could not care less.
There's a nice bridge in Trenton that goes over water, and the slogan is, Trenton makes... the world takes. We'll be right back. Talk more sports after this on 95.7 The Game.
But first, closer to home than, say, Trenton.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hi, thanks to Al Guido. Who joined us, 49ers president, talking about San Francisco's plans to get fans back into Levi Stadium as many as possible, as soon as possible. And if you want to hear that interview, it's very simple to do. All you have to do is download the radio.com app, search 95.7 The Game. You can add it to your favorites, and you don't have to miss a second whether you're at home, you're in your car, or you're at work. You can use the rewind feature to catch any moments you may have missed from the last 24 hours, including our interview with Gary St. Jean, Bob Fitzgerald, and like I said, Al Guido. Or you can just tell your smart speaker, hey Alexa, or hey Google, play 95.7 The Game. 59 years ago today, maybe the singular most impressive sports feat of all time. Wilt Chamberlain, 100 points in a game. Would you agree with that, Goo?
It's overrated.
Or is there another one you can come up
with? No, it's just 100. I was going to go Cheryl Miller, but she was second. It's, I mean, 100 points. I could hate and say he was the tallest man out there. He was supposed to do it, but... 100 is 100, man, and she has to be duplicated.
Pretty impressive.
What do you
Impressive feat. Well, I think, you know, if we're talking about the entirety of the animal kingdom, you got to look at Secretariat and the Belmont as far as great performances, winning by, I think, 27 lengths in a record that stood for decades. But I don't know. Didn't know if we wanted to go to the full animal kingdom or stick to just, you know,
Homo sapiens. Let's keep it to humans.
Okay, stick to the humans.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, in our sport, in our league, it has to reign supreme. And I think it's part because it is 100. If it was 99 or if 102, it would be magical. But something about 100. Wilt's 100-point game. That's about as clean a headline as it gets. And the fact that it was in a neutral in Hershey, PA, and the fact that 4,124 people were in attendance, yet over the years, millions upon millions have claimed to have been there, and there's no video footage. And I know that video cameras weren't everywhere, Goo, but think about it. Almost no documentation in front of very few in the middle of nowhere in a clean hundo. It's the best performance ever.
And Dibs, you're right. And Steiny, the world stops now when these guys drop 50 burgers. I mean, it kind of stops. Like, ooh, 50. Dame Steph, 100. He did that to, man, times two.
Yeah, good call, Dibs, on the middle of nowhere. Hershey, Pennsylvania is kind of in the middle of the state. A good, I don't know, 25, 30 minutes from Harrisburg. Long way from Philly, 2 hours, two and a half.
It's like you're a half an hour away from being a half hour away.
Exactly. So 100 points for Will Chamberlain, for sure. Good for him.
We ever see it again?
Yeah, I think who's the most likely currently playing in our league to threaten it or to sniff Kobe? Kobe's 81. Because that took a determined effort for him to shoot almost every time down the floor. But now there's more possessions than ever. And we've seen,
I'm
what,
going
260
Luka.
Pieces?
I'm going Luka. I could see Luka do it, making his free throws and just going bazonker from deep.
Luka crossed my mind for sure, especially the way he plays. I could see who else could I see doing it? 100, so many points.
You'd lose teammates.
Yeah, unless they were in on it.
It would have to be a triple overtime, just an absolute wild game where it's 162-159 final, where you play three OTs to where somebody gets 100 of the 162. Because even the biggest games, like Curry had, 61? Yeah. What percentage of their total was it? It wasn't 60%.
Right.
It was probably a little more than half of their total that night.
Yeah, that's probably a good call. They were starting to go at him.
Can you guys name the last player to score 70 points in the NBA game?
Oh, I already know. DB, yeah. Devin Booker.
Yeah, Booker, right.
That was 4 years ago. He scored 70 points in a loss to the Boston Celtics.
Okay, do you know who did it last before him? Can I guess? Do you have the answer?
You got to Google it.
I'll say David Thompson, 73. 70. That's my guess. You know what? Don't look it up. It's fine. We were kind of teasing this a little bit earlier. Nolan Richardson, the former coach of Arkansas. I got a kick out of this, so I want to play it for everybody. This is Nolan Richardson.
Great.
During his induction into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. This is a few years ago, but he remembers his story about Larry Bird, and it's pretty funny. Take a listen.
And we're big rivalries, so I'm hoping that Indiana State will beat New Mexico State. And I'm listening to the radio, and I have no clue of the players on either team. All of a sudden, this name keeps coming. Bird. He goes to the right. Bird. He makes the spot. Bird. I said, God damn, who's Bird? Bird. You know, here's Bird. And Bird this. And Bird. Did you see the pass that Bird made? I can't see it, but I'm just trying to imagine it. And when the time I got to the end, I said, damn, that brother can play. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. When I got the newspaper the next morning and saw Larry's picture, I said, damn.
That's great. Oh, Nolan Richardson.
Yeah, that's a story.
Yeah. That's
that
pretty funny.
Brother can play. That's good stuff.
You know, I've always thought about this with basketball, is I feel like that's the one sport where you could talk about the racial component more openly than the other sports because it's right out there, plain as day. And for the most part, players have no problem talking about it. What's obvious to everybody in front of them.
It's because basketball, above all other sports, is a meritocracy, meaning if you can play, if you have the game to merit getting more touches, more shots, more everything, it doesn't matter what you look like. Football is a specialized thing where, you know, you might be the most talented quarterback, but if you don't know the scheme and make the decisions and run the offense, and there's so many other components. Basketball, it's just, are you better than the guy who's guarding you? Can you get yours and maybe try to stop him a little bit? And if you can, to that point about Larry Bird not seeing him, Bird was phenomenal. And you look at modern players like Luka Doncic, if it was the same thing now where he had never seen him, you would think of that athleticism too.
And one of the biggest stains for Major League Baseball is the Negro Leagues to me. And what that represented, what they had to have their own league because they weren't welcome in MLB. But when you think about, you know, basketball and football, help me out, guys. But I don't have that Negro League version of guys, and I know what happened, where they couldn't get in. They weren't welcome. You know, as obvious as the Negro Leagues were in Major League Baseball, to where, you know, Latino players and black players weren't allowed.
Yeah. Here's a little piece of news. Chris Haynes, Yahoo Sports. Dibs, I think this will resonate with you. Damian Lillard is withdrawing from participating in the three-point contest in Atlanta on Sunday. Why would he do that if he's going to be there?
Interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, me neither.
Steph's in it. Steph's in it. That's why.
Maybe
he's got Stephitis.
Could be.
That's an interesting one. That's one to watch. Would he still, if you're going to go there, to your point, because it's all being held at the same time, right? It's not two different days. It's all just the one day. So if you're going there anyway, why wouldn't you participate? So this is one to watch for a possible I'm not going at all type of maneuver, because we've heard from everyone that the players don't seem to be that thrilled. Those who are going to the game don't seem to be that thrilled, yet the sentiment is they're going to take one for the team, quote-unquote, because of the money that's at stake for TNT. And let's be honest, guys. Let's put the rat on the table. That All-Star game, we're watching it. There's no doubt. We're watching the pregame. We're watching
some may gamble.
And some coming up at 128 or 118. Guru's Lock of the Day with a new musical twist, unfortunately, but you'll enjoy it. We got something special planned for you. But I'm more locked in on that All-Star game, especially after last year's format tweak.
Oh,
I think it's going to be – this is going to be a huge, hugely rated All-Star game. So there's a lot at stake here, but if I'm a player, no thank you on a trip to Atlanta for what? For a quarantine – for 30 minutes of grab blank ball and the flight home?
Right.
I got two things, Dibs and Steiny. I did not know, Dibs, are you telling me there is no Saturday night three-point challenge and the dunk contest?
Nope, it's halftime of the Sunday game.
Whoa.
It's and like an AAU tournament, Goo.
I'm going to give you a parlay. For the first time in my life, I feel like these players are objects. We are going through, the world is a pandemic. And I don't care what money you're losing. Every team has lost bread. But for you to say that's the sole reason you're going to subject these guys, Steiny, to get in close proximity when they could be at home with their families or proceed with caution, I mean, have they ever been looked at like merchandise that they are this weekend when nobody wants to be a part of this exhibition? But, oh, I'm sorry, Dibs, we're losing money. F your health. Go out there and just put on this facade of an All-Star game. That's a bad look to me by the NBA.
Well, until I hear a coalition of players come out and say, I'm thrilled to be going, I cannot wait. I mean, you saw that you know, KD's out, right? Even though he was team KD because he got hurt, and team LeBron, he's going to draft a team, but there's no real buzz about, oh, you know, I'm going to get this guy, and, you know, there's been no chatter about it. The sentiment that I'm getting from watching the players is that they're all dreading it, but they don't want to say it because, you know, it's not good for the product. But that is really, you know, the rat on the table is these players
are going to... Dibs?
Yeah.
Some have come out and spoke about they don't want to go. LeBron said it. A few players...
But until LeBron... If LeBron was to pull that plug, then all of a sudden the game doesn't happen. So, you know...
It's, you know what, I think, you know what, Dibs, it's one of those things where the players, we haven't heard much lately from the players, and I think it's like, okay, we get it, you guys don't want to play, but I think this is one where the players are going to, well, obviously, kind of bite the bullet and say, you know what, we're going to do you solid here, but just know that we might need something on the backside, because this ain't right. But I think they probably got to, hey, just if it really, if you could suck it up and do it for us, maybe we'll figure something out on the back end to get you back.
And maybe that's why they consolidated the format into just the one day.
Wow,
so,
I didn't know that.
You don't have to.
Wow.
You know, it's just, I think it's such a tenuous thing, and especially when you get into the collective bargaining agreement, whether or not there's a provision where, you know, if you have an all-star game, somebody's got to show up, or you don't get this portion of the proceeds. I'm sure there's some agreements in place as well.
Yeah. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM and HD1 San Francisco.